pleased today to have Kevin Schlangen, who is the fleet manager for Dakota County, Minnesota, which is the third largest county in Minnesota and part of the Twin Cities metro area. Kevin is a member of the APWA Fleet Management Committee, and he's taken the role here, because I asked him to, of being a spokesperson for the program, certificate program, that covers many aspects of fleet management that the APWA is rolling out. It's an eight-part program, and Kevin has agreed to provide us a bit of an overview on each of those eight sections, so you can have an idea of what the learning objectives are for each of the sections. So thank you once again, Kevin, for taking your time to help us with this. And if you would go ahead and talk about the different sections in this fleet management program. And for our listeners, if you have not listened to the first interview that we did or the other interview that we did with Mr. Schlangen, that is available here on the site. You'll see a link in the article. So you may want to listen to that first to see what the committee has come up with in terms of a certificate program and an overview. And then this is more designed to give you a little bit of information about each of the eight sections that the committee has identified that they'll be going into in very large depth in the program itself. So with that said, Kevin, please go ahead, talk about what these eight sections are and a little bit of each one, if you would.
Thank you, Ranger. The first section that we have is the Public Fleet, the APWA Public Fleet Management Certificate Program, and the first section is Introduction to Public Fleet Management. Now, the main gist of the and objectives of this first section is just truly understanding what the role of a fleet manager is, you know, establishing what your goals and missions are and how to establish credibility in your organization. Many groups in that manage assets and believe that there needs to be a large amount of supervision and leadership on assets that are connected with the roadway. Maybe it's the, you know, the actual road itself, you know, the culverts and the signals and that. But for some reason, a lot of organizations seem to think that that fleet and the equipment, even with all the value, will just take care of itself and doesn't require to be managed, even though the value and replacement value of these assets just continues to climb every year. And so the whole program just wants to, you know, this first part of it is just trying to explain how to interact with your fleet customers and that, and gaining basic knowledge on finance and technologies and you know, where to go for information to help you to increase your knowledge base so you can set yourself up as a subject matter expert in your organization on fleet. And it's a little bit of a bridge where the APWA has a certification program called the Certified Public Fleet Professionals program, and this is just a way to have a one-day seminar that's connected on this with fleet to know where you stand and to start educating yourself and where you can find other resources to possibly go to your professional certification. And that's just, you know, and where you can find other APWA resources for this on their learning portals and their stores and their books and their libraries and click listen and learn. There's just a lot of different ways there. And so the intro is just trying to get you started on where to look for that kind of information. And that's kind of a brief overview of the first section.
Yeah, that's excellent. And, you know, more information is certainly always better. And instead of having to, you know, search all over the internet or APWA site and so forth, having those all in one place, you know, is really a good thing. So what is your second section?
So the second section of the APWA Public Fleet Management Certificate Program is entitled Roles, Missions, and Vision. So this, again, is kind of giving you that overview of where do you fit in the organization? We talked a little about that in section one. It's like, you know, why does fleet exist? If you're not providing the services that your customers need, you know, then why are you here? And you say, well, what customers do you have? You know, we're not selling what we got here to offer. And he says, yes, you are. said, because if you can't provide the services that everyone has that they need to run the plow trucks that you may have, if it's the law enforcement or the fire groups and that, or the sleepers that you have, if you're not able to provide the type of services that they need to keep the equipment on the road, then why do you exist? You know, and the module here would want to talk about how you set goals and how you plan. What do you do to make sure that you fit within the organization? You know, and do you actually have true lists of all the assets that you have? You'd be amazed how many organizations can't tell you, say, how many pickups they actually have in their fleet, or what's the average age of the pickups that you have in your fleet. What are you spending on cost per mile or hour? All this just kind of gets you started to where you go more in-depth in some of the other programs, but it's like it says, there is so many different aspects to a fleet manager that you need to understand that you have to be constantly educating yourself, learning, making connections, and this section will help you to understand how to set yourself up more as a business. And how to communicate that value that you have, and where do you fleet fit in the organization? That's just a brief overview of Section 2.
Well, and the comment I would have there for those public works directors and sweeper fleet managers that are listening to this is having an idea of what your costs are. In fact, having a solid idea of what your costs are is really something that will point you toward the whether you should be doing sweeping or not in-house. You're going to have a certain amount of pressure from the sweeper contracting community to outsource your sweeping. And how do you know if whatever proposal they're bringing you is a positive proposal for your clients, your customers, your citizens, or if it isn't? And ultimately, your goal should be to provide the best possible services at the best possible price. So the only way you can do that is to have a real good handle on what your current costs are, what your current hassles are, and so forth, so you can know whether you should stay in-house with your sweeper fleet or not. Or if that's currently being outsourced, then if you know what your costs are to bring it in-house, you know, perhaps that's where you need to head. So information is just ever so critical. Good. What's Section 3, unless you have a comment about that, Kevin?
No, that's very valuable. And maybe it's a hybrid or, you know, your organization is a combination between in-house and outsourcing on your sweeping operation. If you don't have any of your numbers in line, how do you know what is the best value or the best way to service the taxpayers in your area? And that's just very important to know that there needs to be that connection, and you need to have that information and numbers to know what to do to make an informed decision. So.
Well, and I'd like to, just as a comeback comment on that, actually just this morning in a previous interview, we talked, I was asked a question, and they were interviewing me in this case. I was asked a question about what cities have a in-house sweeper fleet and what percentage I thought had one that they had contracted out. And my experience over 30 years of covering the sweeping industry is that typically what happens is that especially cities where their management doesn't have a good handle on costs, they buy sweepers, they get a, you know, budget amount where they can buy these new sweepers. Now they're suddenly sweeping themselves, and they, you know, catch on. They may or may not know what their costs are, and in many cases really don't. And when that changes again is typically when the sweepers start to wear out. Now their expenses are so high, they haven't allocated resources and budgeted for repair and the purchase of new sweepers. So suddenly the program is seen by the city council or whoever as being exorbitantly expensive, and they then, instead of buying new sweepers, which they typically don't have a budget for or may not have a budget for, they succumb to a contractor proposal instead. Whereas if you had a good handle on your fleet costs and you know, had included in that that you'd have to replace them, you're not nearly as open to that sort of suggestion. Or at least the information you have tells you, gee, maybe that's a good idea. We should go out to a private contractor or not. Information part is the key. What is the next section? I find this is very fascinating.
All right, Ranger, the next section in the APWA Public Fleet Management Certificate Program is Section 3, and this one is Marketing and Communication. And you say, well, what does fleet have to do with marketing and communication? We've already talked some about this. I said, are you in business to actually provide services or not? I said, there should be no different than what you see from anyone else with a business plan. I said, what are you doing to communicate? I said, you got your staff, your customers, and upper management. How do you know whether or not you are of value, to the taxpayers and to the customers? So you have to have the correct communication, methods in place. You need to develop service level agreements. Do you have any agreements and joint powers agreements now to provide fleet services to other agencies around? Are you pooling resources for fuel and purchasing in that? These are all ways to cut the cost within your own organization by partnering with others and sharing of information across the different municipalities in your area. Are you developing these things? You need to know, do you have policies and procedures in place? It's as simple as, is it okay to take that vehicle home at the end of the day, or does it have to return to the same shop where it was checked out from every day? Do you have policies and that in place to protect you, your staff, and your organization safety-wise? These types of things need to be in place as establishing best practices that actually will make it lower cost for your fleet as a whole, and it will protect the liability issues that you can have in organizations. A good example that I can bring up on this is connected with snow removal. I don't know if you're in the Midwest. This is the vast majority of the snowplow trucks, and that are orange. So when an orange snowplow truck drives through and throws some snow and maybe some other debris that was on the road and breaks somebody's windshield as they go through an intersection, they automatically assume, well, it was that orange truck because it was on such and such road. How do you know if it was your orange truck or if it was the orange truck from the city next to you or from the state or somewhere around? And do you have policies? Do you have stuff in place on how to determine who's going to pay for these different things that will come up? And so if you don't have that, and if you don't have your networking, between the different groups that you have around, how do you know what others are doing? How do you stay connected, and how do you work through these situations? And so Section 3 would cover a large amount of that marketing, communication. Are you forming a fleet council, a user advisory group? So if you're fleet management and you're controlling all of the fleet assets in your organization, you actually have a group or a user group or committee that meets regularly to discuss whether or not you actually are providing the services, that you're communicating what your costs are, what their costs are, and how we can improve the safety and reduce costs. That's the kind of information that is a summary here of what Section 3 will cover.
Excellent. Okay, Section 4.
All right. Section 4 in the APWA Public Fleet Management Certificate Program is Human Resource Management. And I know so many of our groups, and we're in the public sector like this, we have HR departments, and we got a bajillion rules that we have to follow, because that's just the way a lot of government stuff is. So there are a lot of things that are restricting, how you can hire staff, how you treat staff, how you what unions may be in place, how are grievances handled, what do you do for tools, how do you do for recruiting, for supervising, your staff, how do you retain, your staff. There are so many different parts of it, and what one main thing that this section will cover is also, five aspects of HR management, which is staffing, work environment, employee training, policies and procedures, and ethics. So I think about the fact that how many of you are responsible for, disposing of assets at the end of their life cycle. And so now you have have some tires that were removed. And do you have a dumpster out back that you throw the tires in? And now you throw the tires in there, and there, you know, not every tire you put out there is going to be completely bald. There may be a few 30 seconds in that left. What do you have in place for dumpster divers that go in there and want to pull out a tire out of there and now put it on their personal vehicle at home? Do you have anything in place that's covering that? And ethics-wise on how some of that stuff should be handled? You know, there's just a large variety of what can be gray areas connected with this and, you know, on ethics and how are you resolving these issues. Ethics is covered. How do you train and keep your staff up to date is being covered here. You know, and how do you establish benchmarking within your own staff so that the same service is being done, say a brake job is being done on a certain pickup, and one person or one tech is doing it in a half hour and it takes somebody else, you know, 4 hours. Do you have policies and procedures in place to address these things? And this section, as an overview, will kind of cover those types of things and how to address that with staff and how to coach and work with staff that may be an issue for you. So that's a brief overview for Section 3.
Section 4.
I'm sorry, Section 4.
See, I'm keeping up.
You're keeping up better than I am.
Well, and I appreciate, you know, we go back to a section or two ago about marketing, and I'm really appreciating the fact that you are aware of the marketing and are saying each time, you know, what it is we're talking about here. And I encourage you to keep that up because this is the program that people need to plug into. So what's the next section?
All right, our next section is in the APWA Public Fleet Management Certificate Program is Section 5. And Section 5 is Information Technology. And in this module, I'm sure that, again, as municipalities, you're going to have an IT department, which we're very grateful for, and they are professionals. But they're generally not professionals in fleet management. And you have to educate yourself as a fleet, you know, as being responsible for fleet, to know what is required and what is needed so that you can communicate that and so that you're not automatically handed different softwares or procedures that you can't do in fleet. A lot of the times what happens within these programs and with softwares is that an organization will decide on and will purchase a program that fits very well in finance, but it really is not a very good program for anything else. And so you're left trying to kind of flounder in that environment. This module will talk about how do you come together and be able to communicate to your decision makers on what you truly need to manage the fleet, you know, what the software should look like, you know, where can technology actually add in your business process and make it better. Sometimes technology can make things worse when it's not implemented correctly. And so this time we'll talk about how the appropriate tasks can be, what pitfalls you should be, you know, looking for and avoiding in technology that others have had, like I had spelled out, where a one-size-fits-all type of a software that can be purchased, like I said, that may work great for one area. You know, maybe it's a great one for employee relations or, you know, and maybe good for finance, but it just, it totally falls flat in fleet, and you can't do any PM programs, you can't manage it. So it's like it gives you some things to go for on how do you connect it, how do you automate, how do you truly use the expansive amount of technology that's available now to actually all tie together and make the job faster and easier and more accurate. And so that's one of the things on your fleet management systems, and you tie that in with your IT department and the expertise of your technicians. All of that kind of falls under that IT category, and so that's kind of a little overview of Section 5.
Well, and there are so many different aspects, and I'm finding that a lot of them aren't tied together yet as well. One of the things when I work with sweeping contractors with my other hat as the director of the World Sweeping Association, is that, and for those contractors out there listening to this, I'll put a commercial message in myself. That's www.worldsweepingpros.org. And what we don't seem to have yet is as a good programs that combine all of what you need, from GPS to predictive fleet maintenance, and to routing and scheduling, and really finding which of those areas you're weak in or weakest, and trying to get software that addresses that and making sure that it does address what you need. One of the problems we have on the contractor side with the scheduling software, for example, is that they don't know to make it work well. It's fine if you're going to be there 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday, for example. But what about the people that want to sweep once on the last Thursday of the month? Will it handle that? Can you integrate that sort of thing? So look at what your real needs are in terms of your sweeping program, and then perhaps work with your other aspects of the fleet management team and see what other areas you have. But there are some aspects with sweeping that really can make or break in terms of software, just as Kevin is talking about. So I'm certain,
Andrew, when you talk about that and saying that one size don't fit all, and that goes right back to that. When you talk about the telematics aspect of it, the scheduling aspect, sometimes people want to sell you and they say that I'm going to buy this, very expensive software because it does all these things. But sometimes when they do them all, they don't do what you need them to do well.
Right.
Maybe better off with maybe three different pieces of software instead of just one. And you just have to know how to link the stuff and to work with your IT departments and that, because one could be a good scheduler, but it could be horrible at your PM and preventive maintenance program. So you just got to see what works for you, and it may not tie in well with your telematics. So
right.
You just got to know. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, I am keeping up. We're moving on to number six.
All right. Our next section in the APWA Public Fleet Management Certificate Program is Section 6. And this one is finance and purchasing. Now, just like it says in here, finance and purchasing, it covers a very large aspect of what fleet management needs to have. Like, there are different ways to fund fleet management. There are general funds. There are our time and material, their internal service fund, their enterprise fund. There's all these different ways to set up and fund. And you say, well, everything comes from the taxpayers' dollars. Is yeah, but there's a lot of different ways that you can slice that up on how it's going to be funded and how it's going to be reported. And so you have to know the different aspects of how it can be managed as a business. It's not as cut and dry as you own a construction company with a bunch of sweepers, and then now, hey, we're kind of driven. This is, I'm a limited, liability. What am I? Am I incorporated? But the same thing goes here within the government sector. There are different ways to fund it. There's different ways to budget it. And so you need to know what you're doing, what is your past experience, how this is going to cover, like how you develop a budget, how do you know what your baselines are, what your costs are, how to be able to talk to the decision makers and elected officials here on what your costs really are. And how many technicians do you really need? Do you understand vehicle equivalencies? There's a big difference between maintaining a pickup and maintaining a sweeper. I said, if you're going to count each of them as one, you're going to have a tough time keeping your fleet up and running. They're not in the same category on the amount of hours and or costs that it takes to maintain them. And if you think that there's 2,080 hours, billable hours, out of a technician every year, you're going to be very disappointed there, too. Does anyone ever get sick? Does anyone ever take on vacation? Are there any holidays? You need to be able to know these numbers, and you need to be able to present on what that looks like. How do you compare your vehicle equivalencies? How many techs do you need? How do you actually present your budget, to your finance directors and your elected officials? How are you determining when is the right time to buy equipment and that? Do you have purchasing strategies in place on how do you finance this stuff? you know, do you and have contracts in place on how to buy, how do you fund your replacement value? How do you determine when you replace a piece of equipment? Do you have life cycle costs? Are you determining more than, or is it just say, hey, it's, you know, 10 years old, I'm replacing it? You know, do you have a plan in place? Because there's more that needs to go into the decision than just age and miles on when you replace a piece of equipment. And you need to know some of these in order to be able to actually, you know, have a program that can be sustained and funded. I hear so many of them in place saying that they just can't get the money to fund the, you know, our replacement program. I said, well, maybe you need to take a different approach. This will give you some ideas of stuff to consider and see if something else or a different approach might be easier or might make a better impact with your elected officials. So that's just a little bit of an overview of Section 6.
Well, I don't know who these technicians are you're hiring that get sick or take vacation days. I think we need to replace those guys out of hand. That's first off, they need to be like us. But, you know, when you're going to the bean counters, you need to send them beans. And they need a good justification. And, you know, they want to keep their butt covered as well when they approve expenditures and so forth. And so you're right. The more targeted you can be, the more hard line information you can provide about, you know, what you need. They're not going to be impressed with the fact that your sweeper fleet is all now 5 years old, so it all needs to be replaced. They would much rather see some kind of itemized expense reports, including what percentage of the repairs are labor, what percentage are parts, and there's a ratio there that makes a difference as time goes on. And, you know, they would much rather see that this machine need to be replaced for these specific cost valuation reasons. And we're not asking you to replace the whole fleet at the same time, which is easier on budgets anyway. So, yeah, that's absolutely excellent. I think we just have a couple more to go, is what my tally tells me. And tell me to start out with, you know, where can they find this? What sounds to be a fabulous program.
Well, this program will be made available. It is through the APWA. Main network, which means that over the coming years, here starting in 2020, as they have their conferences, their two main national conferences are PWX and their National Snow Conference in the spring, one in the fall, one in the spring. And the intent is that this program will be available as part of a one-day seminar, as part of attending their conferences. And then it'll also be rolled out and available to their various local chapters. So many local chapters will have several day, you know, local seminars. Like, say, here in Minnesota, it's a 3-day seminar that they put on usually in November. And when they have that whole program, they can decide to offer this to their members and that too, and any attendees. And then they can have it be, hey, you attend for one day, you can have all of this kind of information being presented, and then when it's presented, it comes with a combination of lecture, discussion, handouts, and each section will have multiple choice questions, so there will be some, you know, minor testing that go along with it in order to earn your certificate.
Perfect. I thought a reminder here in the middle would make some sense. What is our next section?
All right, Ranger, our next section in the APWA Public Fleet Management Certificate Program is called Operations Management. Now, this is the one that most people, you know, are familiar with. This is the one where, hey, everyone understands that you're going to be maintaining the equipment, you know, if you have a good program. So many of them like to refer to, you know, preventative maintenance as preventing maintaining as long as possible. It's like, well, if that's what you're doing in your organization, your costs are going to explode and you're going to spend your time just chasing around putting out fires. Every time you send that sweeper out on the side of the road, I figure that we've done our perfect job when it goes out and it comes back in at the end of the day and we didn't have to do anything to it. and it made it back. So that meant it went out and it swept all day, and we didn't have any other repairs or anything to it. It's like, well, then now we're doing our job. This section is going to talk more about how to put together these types of programs. What do you need to do that you have a good, you know, maintenance of your vehicles and equipment and fixed equipment? So it's going to cover all aspects of how to put together your check sheet. You know, what kind of a parts supply should you have on hand? How do you handle vehicle damage, you know, damage to equipment, you know, are your facilities and stuff, you know, how are you maintaining that and having a working environment for your techs so that you can regularly take care of the equipment? Because the three main maintenance schedules that you should have in place are preventative, predictive, and regulatory maintenance. And it'll talk about those because, you know, of how do you do that? Your preventative, how much of it, what percent should be preventative, what percent should be predictive? What are scheduled and unscheduled repairs? Every time you have those unscheduled repairs or emergency repairs, your productivity just dropped because you got your whole crew waiting because now the sweeper is down or something is need a repair. You need to have programs in place that talk about how do you do that. You know, how does your workflow within your shop managed? How do you prioritize the work that is in your shop? How do you talk about the quality of the work that is being performed? We talked a little bit on one of the other ones earlier. So if you have one person who does a brake job on something that takes, you know, a half hour, and one of your other techs and it takes 4 hours, like, how are you addressing these types of things? Do you have an efficiently run shop? You know, do you know how to dispose of your equipment, you know, correctly? So, I mean, do you have how do you determine the appropriate, you know, equipment for the task at hand? We talk quite a bit here about the different types of sweepers. Well, realize that there are so many different types and brands. How are you determining what's right for your organization? Just because your municipality next to you has a certain brand and a certain model, does that mean it fits your organization? What have you done and what are you doing to help determine these types of things? Because you need to know, you know, how you're going to keep your costs and emissions in check. How are you going to handle all these things? And a large part of these has to do with just having the repair parts and supplies on hand. And so it'll talk about what some of these different levels should be and what you need in order to keep your assets on the road and doing the job, which also means that all your staff is out there doing the job, not standing around waiting for somebody to come out and repair something that broke that could have been prevented if you had a better program in place to maintain that equipment and keep it in good working order. So that's a bit of an overview of our operations section.
Yes, that's a good one. Bottlenecks just occur. I see a tendency with public works sometimes to say, well, you know, our sweeper's broken and it takes a while to get, we'll have to get parts, it'll be a few days and we'll miss this, and then we get behind, and then they get behind further. And you get a lot of blowback from your community when one of the major things I see that come in on my Google searches that I have embedded so that I see information about street sweeping is complaints from citizens about, especially when they had to move their car and then the sweeper didn't come by. Or they planned that the sweeper was going to come by, and even though moving cars wasn't compulsory, they were good citizens and wanted to get their street nice and clean, and so they made plans to move their car, and then it didn't happen. And especially if somebody gets ticketed because they didn't move their car and then the sweeping didn't occur either. So I put those all out as, cautionary tales for things that are actually happening a lot out there. And anything you can do as a public works professional to keep your customers happy, of course, you want to be doing that. And planning for repairs is certainly a big aspect of that. What, as you say, what parts should be on the shelf and what ones don't really matter, especially if you can go down to your local auto parts store and pick them up. Well, then you don't need to have them on your shelf, probably. To know those kinds of things and think about them ahead. That's the kind of things that this committee has put together, and it certainly sounds like a good program. So I'll put the ball back in your court.
that is definitely a snowball effect that takes place. Because when you don't have it maintained as it should be, or you don't have the parts on hand like the Operation One talks about, then now when it finally is back in service, now the operator is going to run it even harder because now they're behind, which will mean something else is going to break, and it just seems to amplify that. And it's like by not having a good program in place and not making sure that you have on the shelf what you need, because so many items that are on sweepers, you don't find over at your local auto parts store. And so you need to be working with your vendor and know what you should have in inventory and what they have in inventory. If you're not having those discussions, that's what our operations section talks more about. You got to have that relationship so you know what they're stocking and what you need to stock, because that's going to be a big difference. Because anytime a sweeper is running, it is wearing out. There's so many wearing parts, and they're engaging the ground. It's just very important to make sure that you have a program in place of all the equipment in a municipal. This is one that's got to have these types of assets on hand, the parts on hand, or it's just going to have a lot of downtime.
Yes, and I find myself wanting to add back into that as well, Kevin. One of the things that I've heard several times, from manufacturers, is that when they are supplying a sweeper, that they have their operator's manual in the sweeper, and they're either directed to or immediately as the sweeper is delivered, they take that manual out and they take it and put it in a file in an office someplace because they want to show that they have that manual is on file. And keep it in good condition. And if that's the case, make sure that you get several manuals from your sweeper supplier and that one of them is in the vehicle and it gets dog-eared by your operators, because they need to know how to best keep that sweeper up as well. And that's the only way you're going to minimize your wear of the parts and so forth. And do you have a checklist that your operators check off on to show you that, or show your technicians that there's something that needs to be done, and how fast does that need to be done? Does it need to be done before tomorrow's shift, or does it need to be done sometime in the next little while, and so forth? So anytime you can predict and prevent, it sure makes a difference. It seems like we're coming toward a wrap-up of these eight sections, and I'll tell you, each one of them sounds like something you need to know lots more about. So I've been very impressed with what I've heard to date. So let's go ahead and wrap up what our last section is.
All right. Our last section, the APWA Public Fleet Management Certificate Program, is Facilities and Safety Management. Within this section, you're talking about what is your facility like. What are you doing to keep it safe? What are you doing regulatory-wise to keep everything safe? It seems like every time you turn your head, there's another new regulation that pops up. Something else that is being done on either a local, state or national level of some other regulation or something that you have to do. But there are a lot of things that can make your work environment safer. And so much of it is connected with keeping your shop areas and your storage areas clean and picked up. So this session we'll talk about how do you do that? How do you start with standards? What do you have for lockout, tagout? What are some of the best safety practices that other fleets have done and have implemented that have helped them to reduce, injury, to staff? And when something is well organized and clean and picked up, it doesn't just mean that people are not getting hurt as often or as likely to, but you're also repairing equipment faster. So all the efficiencies are tied out. Now, what is the layout of your facility? Do you have lifts? What do you do to promote, the correct use of the equipment, and the tools that you have in place? Do you have training stuff in place? So when we talk about this on safety, and we were talking a little about in the other section, it's like, is that operator's manual, you know, taken and put away in a nice area to be cleaned and never to be touched and never have a fingerprint on it? Or is it out there being used? Are you taking advantage of the fact that when you buy an equipment, you know, a piece of equipment, you can work out training with your vendor? So when you get that new sweeper and it comes on board, are you making sure that we have a technician, a trainer from that vendor out there helping you train? Do you training who is going to run it? Do you have them out there regularly to help train safety-wise for them how they run it? Do you use them? Do you take advantage of the different ones to train your technicians? Many of them, they've got programs in place where you can send people away to have training. All that is connected with the safety that is involved. Are you having the right tools? If something has to be adjusted a certain way and they make a certain tool that this is what that's supposed to be adjusted to on that sweeper, are you being cheap or are you going out and buying the tool to make sure it gets adjusted correctly? A lot of these things will pay for themselves over time and people will not be hurt. It's like, so are you doing what you need to in order to be able to keep this all up and running? And in this section, it'll talk about everything connected with fuel and lubrication management. How are you tracking it? Alternative fuels. How are you as an emergency responder? When the tornadoes come through and the bad weather and different things happen here, are you making sure you have a plan in place to have fuel? And if the power goes out, how are you dispensing fuel? How are you making sure that all of the equipment that is, say, clearing the roadways are available and using? Do you have, programs in place? Do you have policies in place? How are you handling that? How are you disposing of the different waste stream that you have within your shop? And if you're disposing of it, are you sure that you're disposing of it the way that you're supposed to? Or is it just the way that you've always done it? Or the people before you have done it? Are you making sure that you are doing your best to do no harm to the environment, that you are following what is in place and what's regulatory? So it will, again, as I haven't on every section here, but at all of these, they will spell out different places towards the end of these sections of where you can find more information, where you can do some more research, because, hey, what the regulations are like here in Minnesota are different than what they're going to be in California or different in New York. So you need to be aware that these are general ideas on some of it, but a lot of it is the same no matter where you go in the nation. And so you just need to be aware of how to look this stuff up, how to find this information, how to keep your staff safe and coming to work every day, and having all your equipment available so when the emergencies hit, it's available to respond, that we're there and that the equipment is there and that everyone goes home at the end of the day to their family with all of their fingers and toes and nobody is hurt, damaged. It takes a lot of effort, and this section will cover that and cover some ideas for you to consider, and that's a little overview of Section 8 for you.
I had a couple comments that I wanted to bring out for this section that are sweeper-specific, that based on my own 3 decades of covering the power sweeping industry. One is get some buy-in on your new sweeper fleet from the guys that are going to be driving it. And ask questions of your manufacturer if there's any kind of questions that you have. And really don't be too specific in your request for proposal. Because there are new sweeper types out there. You may have a 3-wheel sweeper fleet, but that may not be the best anymore for what you're doing. Or you may of course go the other direction. Just as an example, and if you don't have buy-in from the people that are going to be running the sweepers, and they're used to the old one that they've been doing and they like that and that was the brand, if you're going to switch brands, you need to make sure you get buy-in from them and talk to them about why you should switch over and or have their involvement so that you get, if you're moving to a new brand, that's the one that they want to give a try to, because they'll take a lot better care of it. They can go out and trash your machines, no matter whether it's a dump truck or whatever it is, if they want to do that. They can lessen the life of it if they're an upset employee. And as an example of that, I bring back from, this is probably about 20 years ago, sorry about that, when I was a consultant for Schwartz Industries, one of the larger sweeper manufacturers, they had a situation where a city council decided on a competing sweeper, even though it was something like $5,000 more expensive. They just said, well, you know, well, that's what we want. Our employees want that. And so the city council said, all right, we're going to pay the $5,000 extra. It turned out that the chassis on the sweeper that they had been getting and that, you know, they were moving away from had a cup holder in the chassis. And the one that was proposed by Schwartz, that chassis had nothing to do with the sweeper, didn't have a cup holder. And so the employees, without telling their public works director / sweeping supervisor why they preferred the other machine, they'd gotten together and cost the city $5,000 because of a cup holder. So that's that section. The other one is you referred to, you know, we've always done it this way. One of the things that I've seen, especially lately, is that the cost of dumping and waste disposal has gone up, and so that's a creeping cost that you know, they might not have seen coming, and it may make sense for you to start screening your waste and developing an alternative waste stream so that you know, you can. There are cities out there that are screening their waste and finding they can take, you know, as much as 70% of it and put that into other areas like landfill cover or underlayment for roadways and so forth. And some are even making it a profit center rather than a cost of dumping. So keep track of what those latest trends in are so that you can take advantage of whatever the changes maybe. So there's just a couple cents worth from the perspective of just the power sweeping industry. This sounds like a fabulous program, Kevin, and why every public works director in the country wouldn't take advantage of it, I have no idea. And I hope that our conversation today will encourage more of them that might not have looked at it as closely to go ahead and do that.
I appreciate that, Ranger, and let me reiterate that this has been put together over several years, and that I'm just one person talking about it here that contributed some to this, but that there has been many fleet professionals that have provided information to help build this program, and without all of their, you know, volunteer labor and that, this would not have you know, been able to be a program that's in place, and I know that that people will find value in it, and I hope to see, you know, not just say the public works directors, but that this is the type of program that just even people who say they're a technician and they're wondering, hey, I'd like to be a fleet supervisor or manager someday, or I would like to get the professional certification, you know, a certificate program that's like, well, this is a way for them to see how knowledgeable are you, because if you are struggling in the concepts that are in this certificate program, you're going to have a tough time passing the exams that are connected with the full-fledged certified
right.
public fleet professional.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a definite application of knowledge, and those are, again, it's another good program, and the APWA has worked very hard through the support of the national organization and from countless, you know, volunteers here to help put together some of these programs, and that we're willing to share examples and their knowledge over time, and we hope that this becomes a very valuable program for years to come.
I have no doubt whatsoever that it will. And in speaking of people donating their valuable time toward promoting the safety and welfare and so forth of others, Kevin, you have just done that because between our two interviews, you've taken what will amount to a couple hours of time out of your own busy schedule in order to bring more information out about this to the people that are the listeners through worldsweeper.com. I want to also put in a, just as we end, a message about World Sweeper. We are the largest information resource on the planet for power sweeping. We put out an award-winning e-newsletter that for five of the last 6 years has won a National Apex Award for Publication Excellence. There's no charge. This is all financed. Our website is financed basically by the Sweeper manufacturing community. So you can go to worldsweeper.com. On the upper left-hand side under Quick Links, sign our guest book to be able to get our newsletter emails. And you'll find that you'll have updated information about sweeping around the world that will come to your inbox once a month. You can always decline that and subscribe, no problem. But we don't think you'll want to. If that covers it, Kevin, I'll just remind everybody who we were talking to. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, just thank you for the opportunity to talk to your listeners and to just give a little bit of an overview of this program that the APWA has put together, and then hope that many will find value, many will attend in the years to come. Thank you.
Very good. And this is, you've been listening to Kevin Schlangen, and he is the fleet manager for Dakota County in Minnesota in the Twin Cities metro area. And he is a valuable member. I'll put that in on my sheet here. It just says member, but I'm going to say valuable member of the APWA Fleet Management Committee. But as he is quick to point out, only one of many people that have contributed to this new national program that will help everybody in the fleet management sector. Thanks again, Kevin.
Welcome. Thank you.